Well, good morning. I want to welcome you again, and I'm so glad that you've tuned in to worship with us today, and I'm really excited about this message. But before I do, I just want to remind you that, again, you know, I know there's a lot of questions about how we're going to reopen, and I just want to put you at ease, and I want you to know that we are in prayer. We're talking to a lot of different people because our main goal is we want to make sure it's safe for you and for me. You know, the Bible tells us that the best way, I think, that we can demonstrate our love to God is how we love each other, and that's what we want to do. So sometime this week, after we get all of our information gathered, we'll make sure that you have what you need, and then we'll begin that reopening process, because I can promise you it's going to happen in phases. I want to remind you also that next week is Mother's Day, and what a great, incredible celebration we're going to have. We have a guest speaker. I encourage you to maybe invite your friends or whatever and just join in and watch this very special Mother's Day. Well, today I want to talk to you a little bit about Elijah and the purpose of prayer. And I want you to know that my belief is that from this message today, I'm really hoping that you're going to take this message, the notes, whatever God puts or asks you or puts on your heart to write down, and that you take some time and meditate on these, because I really believe that it has to do a lot with what we're dealing with today. This past Christmas, one of the items that was on the Christmas list for my grandchildren was walkie-talkies. Oh, how they love these walkie-talkies. As soon as they got them, we got the batteries, and they were running all over the house, and they were talking to each other. But it was funny because it didn't matter whether they were far apart or whether they were close together. Guess what? They were always screaming into the walkie-talkies. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? You can about imagine. One of the things that they soon found out was that each of their walkie-talkies had a range. In other words, they could go only so far, and then the walkie-talkie would stop working. It was funny to me how they were always pushing the limit, trying to see how far they could get away from one another and yet still be in contact. Did you hear what I just said? They were trying to figure out how they could be as far away from each other and still stay in contact. I was thinking about that this week. And the last couple of days, one of the things that, I don't know about you, but God has put on my heart is that, you know what, I think sometimes that's how we are in our relationship with God. I think sometimes we push the limits. I think sometimes we want to see how far we can get away from God and still be in enough contact where we can still get our prayers answered and we can still hear what God has to say to us. We get frustrated then, don't we? Because we don't feel like we're hearing from God, or we don't feel like He's answering our prayers. And yet, we don't want to make the changes that are going to bring us closer to Him. My friends, prayer is an incredible gift that God has given to us. And it's a way that we communicate with our Heavenly Father. It's the way that He's given to us. It's His idea. It's His way of us communicating with our Heavenly Father. Too many times in our lives, we push that envelope and we try and get as far away from Him as possible. But the problem with that is that, you see, God has given to us answers to prayer. Those answers have already been given to us. You know what He's waiting for? He's simply waiting for us to pray, to come to Him and call on His name in prayer. My prayer today is that as we go through this message, that you will understand through this biblical story the importance of asking God for what you need, even to do the supernatural. So would you stand with me out of respect for God's word wherever you are? And I'm going to read from the book of 1 Kings. Then Elijah said to Ahab, "Go get something to eat and drink, for I hear a mighty rainstorm coming." So Ahab went to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel, and he bowed low to the ground, and he prayed with his face between his knees. Then he said to his servant, "Go and look out toward the sea." The servant went and looked, then returned to Elijah and said, I didn't see anything. Seven times Elijah told him to go and look. Finally, the seventh time, his servant told him, I saw a little cloud about the size of a man's hand rising from the sea. Then Elijah shouted, hurry to Ahab and tell him, climb into your chariot and go back home. If you don't hurry, the rain will stop you. This is God's word for God's people. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I know that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Forgive me, Father, for those times in my life where I'm just interested in what you can give me rather than the relationship that comes with it. This morning, Father, remind me, you are the way to all things. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I want to begin this message with a story probably that a lot of you have heard before, but I want to begin first by going to the book of Isaiah. And in the book of Isaiah, there's something that God gives us that we need to understand about how we get our prayers answered. And not only do we get our prayers answered, but we bring down what God has already declared in heaven to earth. Let's go to the book of Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 65, we read these words. I will answer them before they even call to me. I want to read that again. I will answer them before they even call to me. While they are still talking about their needs, I will go ahead and answer their prayers. I want you to understand what is happening here. I remember when I was smaller, when I learned how to pray, one of the things that I learned how to pray was that at the end of my prayer, I would always say, not my will, but thy will be done. I learned that from my parents. They learned that from what Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? You remember what happened there. Jesus is praying to his Father, and he asks, is there another way to accomplish your purpose? But he closes his prayer with, not my will, but thy will be done. Even in the Lord's Prayer, where we talk about that thy will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. And so we have learned that at the end of our prayer, it is a good thing to pray that it's not my will I want done, I want your will. Now, what are we saying there? What we are actually telling God is, God, we know you have a will. We know you have a plan. There's a plan that is in heaven and there's a plan that's here on this earth. What we are saying is we are yielding to your plan because your plan is better than ours. Now, listen very carefully. We know that God is sovereign. We know that God is everywhere. He is omnipresent. He is all-powerful. And we also know that God is not limited by time. So there is no beginning. There is no end. With God, all things have already taken place. And so if that's true, we know that even on the day that Jesus was born, God was well aware that on 2020, on May 3rd, we were going to be dealing with the coronavirus. He's also already at the place where you and I are going to be called home to be with him. So God is not bound by time. Since that is true, my friends, guess what? That means that God being sovereign, everything that he is doing to redeem the last earth has already been declared in heaven. In other words, the decisions have already been made. We know that's true because you remember that when Daniel prayed to God just a few weeks ago, we talked about this, that even as he was praying, a decision had already been made. I want you to remember that prayer is the way that we activate what God has decreed in heaven and bring it down to earth. In other words, there are things in our lives that we have not prayed for that I believe that God desires to give to us, but they're not going to be given to us unless we pray. That's why the Bible says you have not because you ask not. Today it is my prayer that that changes, that we know that we have this incredible gift of prayer and we to use it for accomplishing God's purpose. Now, I want to do that by telling or not telling, but referring to a story in the scriptures that we've all heard before. It's a story of Elijah. And I want to go to 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, and I want to begin there. Read this verse with me. Now Elijah, who was from Tishbe in Gilead, told King Ahab, "As surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, the God I serve, there will be no dew or rain during the next few years until I give the word." So here we have Elijah, and we are introduced to him. We don't know anything about him except he's from Tishbe, and he goes to King Ahab, and this is what he tells him. He says, "King," he says, "there is going to be no rain, no dew on the earth until I give the word." Now, let's go one more chapter to 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 1, and let's read what it says there. "Later on, in the third year of the drought, the Lord said to Elijah, 'Go and present yourself to King Ahab. Tell him that I will soon send rain.'" So here we have Elijah, this man that we realize is a prophet of God. We're going to get to know that a little bit more later. But he's a man, and he goes and he tells King Ahab. First he tells him, he says, "There's going to be no rain until I give the word." And then he comes back to him and he says, "Now get ready for rain." Now, I don't know about you, but we're dealing with the supernatural here. I can't control nature. Only God does. But one of the things that I want to know is, how was Elijah able to do that? Elijah was a human being. He was a man just like you and I, as we're going to find out in a little bit. But I want to know, how was Elijah able to go to the king and say, "There's going to be no rain," and then he goes to that same king and says, "Now there's going to be rain"? And maybe, if I'm totally honest, what I'm really asking is this, is how come I can't do that? Well, the Bible tells us how and why Elijah was able to do that. And I want you to go with me back to the book of Deuteronomy, and I want you to read this with me. "If you carefully obey the commands I am giving you today, and if you love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and soul, then he will send the rains in their proper seasons, the early and the late rains, so you can bring in your harvest of grain, new wine, and olive oil. He will give you lush pasture land for your livestock, and you yourselves have all you want to eat. But be careful. Don't let your heart be deceived so that you turn away from the Lord and serve and worship other gods. If you do, the Lord's anger will burn against you. He will shut up the sky and hold back the rain, and the ground will fail to produce its harvests. Then you will quickly die in that good land the Lord is giving you." So what we learn from this is that here we have Elijah who goes to the king. He tells him it's going to rain. He tells him it's not going to rain. And he does that because of what God had said to Moses earlier. Now, here's what I want us to focus on this morning for a little bit. So Elijah's prayer is based upon what God had already said to Moses earlier. So what we learn from the book of Deuteronomy is that as Elijah is praying, Elijah's prayer is tied to God's word. Here's my first teaching point for this morning. If you don't know God's word, you don't know how to pray. That may be kind of hard to hear, isn't it? But it's the truth. And I want your prayers to be effective. You see, the reason that Elijah was able to ask God to intercede supernaturally on their behalf was because his prayer was God's will. All Elijah was simply doing was he knew God's will and he was praying God's word back to him. That's the power in praying God's word. And did you notice his prayers were not vague? They were very specific. "We need rain. We don't need rain. We need rain." That's what he was doing. Now, I say that to you because I really believe that the Bible is applicable to the events that we are going through today. And we'll say that again. I believe that the Bible is applicable to the events that we are going through today with this pandemic. And here's why this is important. People, we need to know what is in God's word so that we can pray that word. And the reason we need to pray that word is because that word is God's will. And as we pray God's will, that's how we bring the supernatural into the natural. We need to pray. Now watch this in James. The Bible teaches us, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Elijah was a human as we are, and yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then, when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. All right, now here's what I need you to understand. First of all, this is God speaking through James, and he's telling us that you and I are just like Elijah. He's talking to us right now. And what he's telling us here is that it's the prayer of a righteous man that has great power. Did you hear that? It's the prayer of a righteous man that has great power. Now watch this. So Elijah, in chapter 17, verse 1, what is he doing? He goes to King Ahab and he tells him, there will be no rain, not until I give the word. And then he goes back to him in chapter 18, verse 1, and he tells him, guess what? Get ready for rain. How was he able to do that? Here's what I want you to know. In chapter 17, verse 1, what Elijah was doing was as he brought an all-out attack against Baal. Baal was an idol. Baal was a god that was set up by the people. In fact, he was the fertility god. Baal was the one who was responsible for all the good crops. So what's the problem here? What's going on in this story? Here's the issue. The people had put something in God's place. The people had put an idol in the place where God was supposed to be. And Elijah is going after this idol, and he wants this destroyed because Elijah knows that it is God who is supposed to be on the throne, and God doesn't want to share his glory with anyone. So my dear friends in Christ, can I just ask you this? If we know that it's a power of a righteous man, a prayer of a righteous man has great power, what idol do you have on the throne of God? What is it that we have placed in God's place that has gotten us to where we are today? You see, we want what God has for us, right? But we don't want to mess with the idols. We want the rain, but we don't want to deal with the change. You see, I believe that that's where we are right now. I believe that we have put something in God's rightful place. And look what we're experiencing right now. My prayer is that we go back to God's word and we attack that which is offensive to God. Well, let's go on here. Now, the question that people ask a lot of times when we get to a situation like this is that, okay, so Pastor Bob, if God has already decreed this, so why do I even need to pray about this? Well, let's watch what the Bible, or look what we learn from this, from the Bible. Prayer activates what God has declared. Remember, there are things in heaven that have already been decreed, and our prayer brings those into the natural. So the question that we should be asking is, okay, so how do I do the supernatural? How can I do some of the things like Elijah and the other prophets? And the Bible tells us it's the righteous man. It's the prayer of a righteous man. Now let's take a moment and let's look at that a little bit. Why is that righteousness, that being right with God, so important? Here's the answer to that. A righteous man knows that God's will, tied to his word, brings about effective prayer. Did you hear that? A righteous man knows that God's will, tied to his word, brings about effective prayer. Well, I don't know about you, but that's where I want to be. I want to be that man who is that righteous man. But the question, though, is now is, so how do I get there? How can I become this type of individual that God desires to use? Well, let's look what the scriptures teach us. In James 5:17, we say, Elijah was as human as we are, and yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. So here's what I want us to understand, and my prayer is that I really hope you believe this, because I've spent time not just reading this, but meditating on it. And according to the Bible, this is what God is saying. Elijah was no different than you and me. He was a man just like us. And I believe that what God is saying is that your prayers could be more powerful than what you're experiencing if you're willing to do what Elijah was willing to do. Don't you want that in life? Don't you want your prayers to be powerful? Don't you want your prayers to bring that which is in heaven and for God to declare it here on earth? I do. Well, watch how that happens. Let's go back to the Bible. In 1 Kings 18:41, we read, Then Elijah said to Ahab, Go get something to eat and drink, for I hear a mighty rainstorm coming. So what has happened now is that the idol has been removed from its place, from God's place, and God is back in his rightful place. And so Elijah now declares, and he tells his servant, he says, go tell King Ahab that a rainstorm is coming, right? That's what he tells him. But I want to point out something that Elijah said that just kind of caught my ear this week, and what it was is this. Elijah says, for I hear a mighty rainstorm coming. If you look at the verses before that, and you look at some of the different texts in the Bible, you know what it says? It tells us there wasn't a cloud in the sky. And my friends, I wasn't born yesterday. And I know that when I look up in the sky and I don't see any clouds, I'm not going to predict rain. But what Elijah does is Elijah says that he hears a rainstorm coming and there's not a cloud in the sky. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to know how that happens. How was Elijah able to hear a rainstorm coming and there wasn't any cloud in the sky? Was it just a coincidence? Well, let's see what the Bible says. Look at this. Your proximity to God determines what you hear. Did you hear that? Your proximity to God determines what you hear. You see, Elijah was able to hear the rainstorm coming because he was a righteous man, because he was so close to God. And here's what I want us to understand. Let's not be deaf like King Ahab. This was God's chosen leader, but he was deaf. He could not hear God. So how do we hear God? Well, the Bible tells us in John, look what it says here. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. You see, this is how you hear the word of God. This is how you become a righteous man, a righteous woman of God. You spend time with God. You spend time in his word. And it's not just once during the day, it's all through the day. You memorize his word. You meditate around on his word because God becomes the central focus of your life. Now, the interesting thing that we're struggling with right now that I believe is that we're really struggling with this social distancing, aren't we? You know, it's amazing. When we come back, even when we reopen, you know what the number one thing that we're going to be looking at is social distancing. We're going to have maybe a seating chart, but we're going to have people stay 6 feet away from each other. And you know what? We don't like that, do we? We struggle with that. I know there's some of you said, I don't care. I'm not going to listen to that. Well, no, we need you to listen to that. But here's what I want you to understand. You know why I think we're struggling with the social distancing? because I think God is telling us is because we struggle even worse with spiritual distancing. We struggle with spiritual distancing all through our lives. Our economy, everything was going great. We had life the way we wanted it. It couldn't have been any better. And God said, I'm going to teach you a lesson. You see, we have put other things in God's place, and God will not share his glory, so we got a little time out. My friends, as bad as we want this social distancing to end, let's focus more on ending the spiritual distancing. Let's quit trying to be as far away from God and still get what we need from him. Let's focus on running to God and putting him in the place that he needs to be. Look at this next verse. So Ahab went to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel, and he bowed low to the ground and prayed with his face between his knees. So here we have where this is where the rubber meets the road. Elijah has already told his servant, go tell King Ahab he needs to start back for the kingdom because there's rain coming and there's not a cloud in the sky. So you know what Elijah does? Elijah climbs Mount Carmel. This is the place of victory that he had just had victory over all of the prophets of Baal. He goes back up on this mountain and he gets in a place where nobody is going to be around him, where he is not distracted and he can focus on crying out to God. And the Bible tells us that he tells his servant not once, not twice, but seven different times to go check and see. And why did God have him do seven times? Because seven was the number of completion. But I want you to notice something that Elijah did that I just happened to stumble upon this week that speaks volumes. And here's what he did. The Bible tells us that when Elijah prayed, he put his face between his knees. Let me show you what that looks like. That means that when Elijah was praying, he would put his head between his knees and he prayed. Now, here's what I want you to understand. The position that I'm in right now, I used to call a coaching position. I used to be in this position for minutes upon minutes when I was coaching. But you know what I learned? In the days of the Bible, when they had midwives, this was a position of labor. This was the way that women would have babies. And I want you to think about this. We've heard Pastor Aaron and others talk to us about the importance of the posture of prayer. Here is Elijah, this man of God, getting on his knees, putting his head between his knees and praying in a place, in a position, a posture of labor. What was he doing, friends? Elijah believed. He believed in his God. He believed that God is who he said he was, and he believed that God was going to bring about rain. It was just a matter of time. But he puts himself in a posture of labor because Elijah was praying for the birth of a miracle. A position of labor for a birth of a miracle. And that's exactly what happened. Here we have Elijah, a righteous man, a man who knew God's word, a man who prayed God's word, a man who was able to bring rain, and a man who was able to shut the heavens up. But he did it because of his proximity to the Lord. And when he prayed in a position that God knew exactly what he was asking. So wherever you are right now, I'm going to ask you to join me in a position of labor. As I close this message with prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this incredible gift of this story, of this real life story. And God, as we are here today, we acknowledge that there are things, promises in the Bible that are applicable to what we are going through. And so we come to you, Father. We come to you in a position of labor because we're believing that you are about to birth a miracle. We're believing, God, that you are going to take this coronavirus and you are going to eliminate it from our people, that you are going to watch over, that you are going to protect us, and it's going to happen by your mighty hand. Father, you've told us in your word tells us that if your people called by your name will humble themselves and pray, and if we will confess our sins, Father, and turn from our wicked ways, your word tells us that you will hear our prayer from heaven. You will forgive our sins and you will heal our land. We are praying your word. We are praying your will to be done. And so, God, I just close this message by saying, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week. We'll see you next week.